Hey, Em, what's black and white and red all over?
What?
The Bible, because we're covering 1 John 3:19-4:6
So
today.
bad.
What? I thought that was a good one.
It's cute. It's
Okay.
cute.
Hey guys, my name's Megan, and I have my co-host with me,
Emily.
And we are going to be bringing it to you, bringing the word of God to you. You like intros so much better than I do, but that's okay. Welcome to Talk Bible to Me, our podcast that we do together because we're friends.
Because we're the two best friends that anyone Listen. Can have.
Do you know that song? Like, I have friends. I definitely have friends.
Yep.
Like, I feel like this whole podcast is me being like, see, I have friends.
I have a friend. I have a friend.
Even though, while at your church, you got on stage and said,
I did.
She just kind of forced me into a podcast. And I said, it was, that's right.
Worth it. Worth it.
Worth it. Awesome. Well, I'm drinking out of my mug today. I just want you to notice this before we start going. It's my Arminianism mug.
Where did you get that? I need to give that for Matt.
Well, when I flip it around,
is there
my Calvinism mug? Because this mug chose me.
Please, where did you get that? My husband and there's another guy on our staff. They're always like talking about this, and that would be a perfect gift.
Oh man, my mom got it for me for Christmas. Aww. I think on Etsy, but I will find out.
I'll check it out. Okay.
Yeah, because
I'm sure I can Google it.
She goes, "Hey, I got this mug because I thought it was funny." So like, no matter what I'm drinking, people are like, "Oh, so you're this?" And I'm like, "Actually," and I'll flip it. Just
man, yeah. It can cause some serious debates. It really can.
Yep.
We're not getting into it today.
Nope.
Because we have 1 John 3:19 through 4:6.
That's right. And I'm so excited because John was one of the inner three disciples with Jesus, Peter, James, and John. Mm-hmm. And we also think that John was probably the youngest of the disciples.
How old do you think he was?
I think as a disciple, just based on like my understanding, I would say he was probably a young teenager.
Can you imagine? You know, something that always blows my mind too is the fact that Jesus was like 30 when he started his ministry. And when you look at 30-year-olds now, like, people don't really respect that age, nope. You know? I'm sure back then 30 was a little older than it is to us now because our lifespans are longer. But that, I mean, that's like a solid probably 40, 45 in our time.
Yeah.
Young.
Yeah,
a young pup.
He really was. We've been studying so much of that culture lately at the Bold Movement. And I'm excited because this fall we have stuff coming out. I'm not allowed to tell anybody yet. So it's like this big secret that's killing me. But we have some really cool stuff coming out in the fall. And
are you good at keeping secrets? Or are you one of those ones who says, I have a secret and I can't tell you, but here it is. And then you say it.
I am.
Or are you like a true secret keeper?
No, I'm a secret keeper. Like,
yeah.
If it's a secret, like, don't tell anyone, but they want it told, you know? Mm-hmm. But if you're like, hey, this is between us, like, I don't even tell my husband. Like, I am it goes to the grave with me.
That's good. Yes, I'm the same way.
Yeah.
My husband is not. My husband's not that way. It's like a running joke that it's specifically the men in the Richardson side. They cannot keep a secret. Are you alive?
It was yes, that funny. Yes, I'm getting over bronchitis, and that was the first coughing fit I've had. So I'm actually.
Oh, I was just hoping that I was actually that funny that I caused you to go into a coughing fit.
You were. Dang that's it. What I meant to say. It just came out weird.
I'm just that hilarious. Bronchitis, yeah. Funny, you know, which one.
Yeah, but I think as women, like, we have to keep secrets more.
Whew. Preach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're women yes. ministers. So like that's a whole nother level.
Yep.
I just think we're better at confessing, maybe. I don't know, maybe not. Maybe it depends.
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. Gossip is rampant.
Yeah.
We could go real deep with that one.
Yep.
I was just gonna go lighthearted and say I was saying the Richardson men, my husband and his family, They can't keep any kind of surprise secret at all. I shouldn't say the men, because Savannah, my daughter, she's six. She's caught on to it. And it's like they cannot keep a secret. They all find out their birthday presents. They find it somewhere hidden in the house, or their Christmas presents, or a trip that we're supposed to take that's a surprise. It's terrible.
Wow.
It's terrible. My daughter's caught on to it, and she knows now that she can't keep secrets. So if she finds out a secret, she's like, starts stressing out. I'm going to tell somebody. Like, you don't have to, but I'm going to tell somebody, but you don't have to.
God love her.
I know.
Yeah, for the record, I do not like knowing secrets. I mean, I will keep your secret, but if it's like juicy and good, like I'll keep your secret if it's like you have a confession. I'll keep all secrets. But like if it's a happy secret, like, oh my gosh, I'm pregnant, and like you're not telling anyone for 3 months, like, please don't tell me. I like being excited with you. Like, I am very easily excitable. I'm like a golden retriever. Like, ah, you're here, you know? And so happy secrets, like, I will definitely keep them, but I don't want to.
It's a burden. It's a burden to have to try to keep it.
Mm. Bear one another's burden, sis. Let's do this. Okay. Right. So what we do is the bold acronym. Emily, I've explained it the past couple of weeks. Why don't you take it from here? Can you just tell our people what the bold acronym is for studying scripture?
Yeah. So it's B-O-L-D, bold. And begin, the B stands for begin with scripture and prayer. Mm-hmm. And then O is on your own, wrestle with the text. L is learn the material, and D is do something. So every podcast, we like to walk through each of those letters so you can kind of get the hang of what it looks like. And then you do it on your own later on too, so you can practice and get better at it. So we're going to start with B, which is begin with the text and prayer. Do you want to pray this time?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Absolutely.
Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us scripture, for talking to us through that, and giving us something that is just as relevant and alive today as it was 2,000 years ago. We love you, and we pray that whatever we are studying today, that it's honoring and glorifying to you. And if we say something that's wrong, may it fall on deaf ears. We love you, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, so the next thing will be to read the scripture. We like to read it in three different versions. So something that is word for word, thought for thought, and then a mixture of the two. And so, Megan, which ones do we have? I know we have the Amplified version. What other two will we be doing today?
I've got the Amplified today. I've got the CSB, which is the Christian Standard Bible. And I've got the Message, which, just to make a note, CSB is kind of between word for word and thought for thought. Mm-hmm. It's not quite thought for thought, but it's not quite word for word. So I threw it in there for thought for thought. And then obviously our go-to paraphraser, the Message.
Yep. Okay, cool. Do you want to start us off with one of those? I have the Amplified on my phone here available. So
perfect. Go for it.
Okay. All right. So we're doing 1 John 3:19-4:6. By this, we will know without any doubt that we are of the truth, and will assure our heart and quiet our conscience before him. Whenever our heart convicts us in guilt, for God is greater than our heart, and he knows all things. Nothing is hidden from him, because we are in his hands. Beloved, if our heart does not convict us of guilt, we have confidence, complete assurance, and boldness before God. And we receive from him whatever we ask, because we carefully and consistently keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight, habitually seeking to follow his plan for us.
Mm, love that.
Am I still going?
Sorry.
I'm still going.
I got you. I'm sorry. I got you. I love
this. This is good. It is. Yeah. It's really good. I like all the extra. So if you're reading it in person, there's a lot in, it's not parentheses. I forget the name of the other type, but it just expands. It amplifies it, expands it. So then verse 23, this is his commandment that we believe with personal faith and confident trust in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and that we unselfishly love and seek the best for one another, just as he commanded us. The one who habitually keeps his commandments, obeying his word and following his precepts, abides and remains in him, and he in him. By this we know and have the proof that he really abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us as a gift. And then this is going into chapter 4. Beloved, do not believe every spirit speaking through a self-proclaimed prophet. Instead, test the spirits to see whether they're from God, because many false prophets and teachers have gone out into the world. Mm-hmm. By this, you know and recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges and confesses the fact that Jesus Christ has actually come in the flesh as a man is from God. God is its source. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus, acknowledging that he has come in the flesh, but would deny any of the Son's true nature, is not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and is now already in the world. Little children, believers, dear ones, you are of God and you belong to him and have already overcome them, the agents of the Antichrist, because he who is in you is greater than he, Satan, who is in the world of sinful mankind. They who teach twisted doctrine are of the world and belong to it. Therefore, they speak from the viewpoint of the world with its immoral freedom and baseless theories, demanding compliance with their opinions and ridiculing the values of the upright. And the gullible one of the world listens closely and pays attention to them. We who teach God's word are from God, energized by the Holy Spirit. And whoever knows God through personal experience listens to us and has a deeper understanding of him. Whoever is not of God does not listen to us. By this we know without any doubt the spirit of truth motivated by God and the spirit of error motivated by Satan.
I love First John. I think it's such a compact book, so deep and so simple. All right. From the Christian Standard Bible. This is how we will know that we belong to the truth and will reassure our hearts before him. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts and he knows all things. Dear friends, if our hearts don't condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive whatever we ask from him because we keep his commands and do what is pleasing in his sight. Now, this is his command. Here we go, guys, because we've been talking about this the past couple of weeks. This is his command, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps his commands remains in him and he in him. And the way we know that he remains in us is from the spirit he has given us. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming. Even now, it is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and you have conquered them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore, what they say is from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Anyone who knows God listens to us. Anyone who is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of deception. Do you want to read the paraphrased?
I can. Yep, I've got it pulled up. All right, so this is the Message version. This is the only way we'll know we're living truly, living in God's reality. It's also the way to shut down debilitating self-criticism, even when there is something to it. For God is greater than our worried hearts and knows more about us than we do ourselves. And friends, once that's taken care of and we're no longer accusing or condemning ourselves, we're bold and free before God. Whoop, bold, love that.
That's right.
We're able to stretch our hands out and receive what we asked for because we're doing what he said, doing what pleases him. Again, this is God's command, to believe in his personally named Son, Jesus Christ. He told us to love each other in line with the original command. As we keep his commandments, we live deeply and surely in him, and he lives in us. And this is how we experience his deep and abiding presence in us, by the Spirit he gave us. My dear friends, don't believe everything you hear. Carefully weigh and examine what people tell you. Not everyone who talks about God comes from God. There are a lot of lying preachers loose in the world. Here's how you test for the genuine Spirit of God. Everyone who confesses openly his faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came as an actual flesh and blood person, comes from God and belongs to God. And everyone who refuses to confess faith in Jesus has nothing in common with God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist that you heard was coming. Well, here it is, sooner than we thought. My dear children, you come from God and belong to God. You have already won a victory over those false teachers, for the spirit in you is far stronger than anything in the world. These people belong to the Christ-denying world. They talk the world's language and the world eats it up. But we come from God and belong to God. Anyone who knows God understands us and listens. The person who has nothing to do with God will, of course, not listen to us. This is another test for telling the spirit of truth from the spirit of deception.
Mm, so much goodness in that. Yep. So let's go ahead and go to the next letter, which is O. On your own, wrestle with the text. Can you summarize this passage in one sentence?
Oh, man. You know, I had one written down and then my mind is like, oh, gosh, there's so much to this one. Mm-hmm. But I'll just keep what I have written down just to keep it simple. When you start to question where you are with God, go back to the simple gospel.
It's so weird. That's like exactly what I have.
Oh, no way. No, it's... oh.
I don't want to say mine now because that was so good. Mine is basically from one of the verses. If a teacher confesses Jesus as Christ, he is a true teacher.
There. That's great.
Yeah, but I like the simple gospel.
Megan always making things a competition. You can't help yourself.
It's not a competition.
It's not, exactly. That's what I'm saying to you.
I mean, like, if I'm competing to have it better, I guess you're okay. Whatever.
So. That's like the definition of a competition. Yep.
You know what? You're fired from this podcast. Fired. Just kidding.
You'd miss me.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I have missed you. Are you kidding me?
You would miss me.
I have. I don't ever want to do that again. Don't neglect me for that long. Don't ever have another baby.
I won't. It's official. There are no more babies coming to this house.
If you have another baby, you should give your baby to me so I can have a baby too.
Deal.
Okay, done. All right, number two. What is God revealing about himself in this passage?
He's the source of truth.
I'm going to say that he is Jesus.
Oh, yeah, well, that's good.
In light of the rest of scripture, what should I take away from this passage?
I think it connects to the Old Testament commandment to love the Lord your God and love others.
Yep, I agree. And now that we know what it's saying, what is it not saying?
Do you have one?
I'm sorry. I just got a text message and I got so distracted and I am so sorry for that. That was so rude. It was
about I us. Have one. I have one.
Yeah, you go first.
It is not saying that you can trust your own heart because, you know, it's talking about when your heart condemns you, you know where your confidence comes from. But it's not saying that when your heart condemns or does not condemn that you can just trust that your heart is saying something you should believe.
Yeah, I'm going to say what it is not saying is that when you're testing the spirits, in James, it tells us not to test your God. And here it's not saying it's not necessarily asking you or telling you to like question God, like, is this God or not? Because I think he's very clearly laid out, what righteousness is, what good is, who he is versus other things. But rather, I think when they tell us to test the spirits, what John is trying to say is, God gave you logic and reason and understanding, and you know what the gospel is. So test things against that. Like, test the spirits, test the antichrists against scripture, not testing the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's really good. That's really good.
Thanks.
I love that.
Thank you. Next letter. Are you ready to move on?
I'm ready.
L, learn the material. This is where we go outside of the Bible to our extra biblical resources. And by that, we mean our commentaries, dictionaries, concordances, all those good things, study notes in your Bible. Mm-hmm. This is the time to whip those out. So since we are tight on time, how about you take this one and I'll take the D. Do something.
Okay, so I had a really great quote, as always, from the Expositor's Bible Commentary. I really try to keep it simple with how many study tools I use. So this quote I thought was so good and kind of sums up a lot of this. It says, "How easily the conscience can render us ineffective. Doubt, guilt, and failure are never far from us. What then can we do? We can remember that God understands everything. We may rest in his love. We will not excuse ourselves of any sin, but neither will we needlessly accuse ourselves." And I just thought that was so good. Just this idea that, like I said, it's our hearts are deceitful and they're going to try to convince us either we're really good or we're really bad. And while our heart is not always wrong, it's not to be trusted. And so, I think it's important to remember that we test everything in our heart according to, is this biblical? Is this something that is a sin problem in my life that I need to deal with? Or is this just the enemy trying to remind me of all the bad things that I've done that I've been forgiven for? And I kind of had this picture in my head as I was studying it. You know, when we're in sin, we tend to flee from God. We run away. And so I think one of the ways we can kind of know and test if something is from scripture and is good for us is it causing us to run away from him? Or are we living in that salvation that we have that brings us that confidence we talked about a couple episodes ago, that confidence before him, to stand before him with that assurance that he loves us, that he has forgiven us? And so I think when it's from the enemy, you know, it's going to tend to distance us from God. But when it's from him, it's going to bring us closer to him and closer to his word through careful study and build that longing that we have to be with him. So, yeah, that's the study that I did. It was pretty short and sweet, but it was really good.
Yeah, that's awesome. D, do something with it. Mm-hmm. Here's the deal, guys. When we're talking about in scripture, when it's talking about your heart, I want to define that, because I think that's one of those Christianese things that mm-hmm. we say a lot, like invite Jesus into your heart, or I love you with all of my heart. What does that even mean, right? Yep. And so when we're talking about the heart, what we're talking about is the center for all of your emotions and decision making. So really we're talking about the mind. Mm-hmm. And that's what we call our heart, right? Like if I love you with everything in me, with my whole heart, I'm really talking about, like, when I make decisions, I'm going to make them with you and considering you and your feelings as well. And so here it says, if your heart condemns you, this is what they're talking about here, is the things that we struggle with every single day, where we are convincing ourselves you're not good enough, you're mm-hmm. never going to be forgiven. When your mind starts playing the enemy and you start having these invasive thoughts and these negative thoughts that are not from God, I love this because it says, dear friends, if our hearts don't condemn us, we have confidence before God. These have negative thoughts, and God is bigger than our hearts. He means more than our hearts. At the same time, God gives us the knowledge and wisdom to be able to have these discerning moments. And so if your mind is telling you you are not living right, and it's not something that's just like an invasive thought, and you're able to tell the difference when it's, hey, I need to be making better choices and decisions to reflect who Christ is, I think that's what it's talking about here. It's kind of like wrestling through that emotion versus cognitive ability, mm-hmm. right? Remember, when we're doing something with this, what I want us to take out is you're in control of your emotions. Mm-hmm. So God has given us the ability to be in control of our emotions. And if we let them run rampant, then we don't have control and they control mm-hmm. us. And if he's given us that ability, we need to like really hone it in, because we have so much that has to be done. And the rest of this passage is all about being obedient to Christ as well. But you can't do that when your emotions are mm-hmm. running rampant. So that's yep. what I would say with D.
The phrase we say in our house all the time is feelings aren't facts. Now, sometimes there are facts behind our feelings, mm-hmm. so that doesn't completely disengage them or make them not necessary, but the feelings themselves are not the fact. The feelings are the result of maybe a fact, and that's so important in our faith too, because if we just ride on emotion all the time, man, our faith is not going to be steadfast. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good stuff.
And know this, guys, like, emotions are not bad. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want us to get it twisted. Right. Emotions right. are a good thing. Mm-hmm. But they can't run everything. Like, yes. God gave you a brain. You got to use it.
Yep.
Yep. Okay. That's all we've got. We're so glad you tuned in, and we can't wait to see you next week. Make sure to tune back in. If you do not subscribe, hit that subscribe button. If you like us, give us 5 stars. If you don't like us, just stay away from the stars.
Walk
we
away.
Don't need that negativity in our lives. Guys, until next time, go out
and be bold.